I want to introduce Kathleen Sawyer. Kathleen, her first love, she says, is her family. She has two grown sons and six grandchildren. She was originally involved in the secular music industry before the Lord moved in her heart to become more involved in the Christian music industry, and in fact had a part in creating Music Northwest, which was held, I believe, annually in Vancouver, Washington. She spent the past two decades counseling hundreds of people, the first 10 years through the Crisis Pregnancy Center, and then more recently as a registered counselor, and currently leads HEART, which is an acronym for Healing and Encouragement for Abortion-Related Trauma Groups. And so she enjoys coming alongside women and walking with them through through past woundedness to the place of complete healing in Christ. So I'll let her tell you more about herself, but here is Kathleen.
Thank you. I want to share a quick story. She was talking about the snow. I remember having kids home, and I said to them, "Mommy needs a timeout. I'll be over here, okay? And I need to be quiet in my timeout." It was hilarious. Try it if you have older ones. I just love all these little lambs. My youngest grandchild is 10. The oldest is 25. So what a delight to see your little lambs. A couple things about me that I'll share with you. I have a CD up here that is a gift to all of you. Now, there's a couple interesting things. It's on sexuality. So when I first had it out in the market, I went to Barnes & Noble, and I was chatting with the salesman, and he said, "It's really interesting when people buy your CD," and the Christian stores said this, it was even worse. They would buy the CD upside down, because the title of it is "Your Sex Life Sucks." I'm so real, Okay, so for those who are a little more conservative than me, I got stickers, so you can take the one that says "Into Me by God's Design" or mine, but under it is the truth. Maybe, may not be the truth. The Lord, about 25 years ago, I was blessed to counsel at the Crisis Pregnancy Center back then for many years, and then started a private practice 25 years ago, and myself and two others have a private practice in Vancouver. We are so blessed to be able to walk in this world, and that I am honored to sit with people who are wounded and help them find their new adventure, their new journey, and their way. The Lord has brought a lot of different people my way, and a lot has been on sexuality in my practice. A couple things, too. A little children's book. This is, you're going to want to get on my webpage if it's something that you want, because it's a much better deal. Barnes & Noble and Amazon charge quite a bit, but if you are interested in this, to purchase it on my website. This is the only thing up here for sale. The CDs are yours to take, so help yourself. The book was inspired by someone who came in with depression. And when I was interviewed on television and radio, they asked me if it was a book for children. And I sort of paused and I went, huh. The name of it is "The Day Sad Arrived." No, I think it's for all of us. I wish it wasn't. Sexuality is probably one of the most topics that I speak on the most, because it's one that I'm really comfortable with, and I work with a lot of sexual addiction in couples, a lot of men who have pornography addictions, and I have had a couple of women who have had pornography addictions. And so when we speak about intimacy, it can look from A to Z. When it looks, it's changed in our world too. A lot of the stress has brought erectile dysfunction to some of my younger male clients, where years ago, they literally never did deal with that as much as they do today. So when I deal with men one-on-one that are either dealing with a sexual addiction or that they've totally shut down, there's a couple of pieces to work with on that issue. With women, too, our sexuality, I want to first say that if there are any of you out there, and because of statistics, I know that there are, that I want you to be protected if I trigger you in any way, because in your past there's been abuse. That is not my desire. So I ask that you would protect yourself if there isn't total healing in that area of your life, and that you would, if you need to take a breath, or take a break, please do.
my desire is not to re-injure you. But as we talk about sexuality, when I have worked with those who've been sexually abused, there are many, many triggers. And so hopefully my prayer is that if there are triggers in your life sexually, if you are married, that you're able to work through that. I had a woman who worked with, she was washing the dishes. And her husband came up behind her and he was rubbing her shoulders. And he said, honey, you just need to relax. And she turned around and slugged him. She was surprised. He was surprised. They came in. That's what her father said to her right before he abused her. Just relax. So there are triggers in our world that are connected to pieces that God meant for good. And so my prayer is that you'll find a safe Christian counselor, or a counselor that you're comfortable with, that if there's any triggers in your life, that you can have healing so you can have that. I've dealt with men who have been sexually abused that haven't told their wives. So there's triggers for them that they've never shared, so it actually can change the sex life if they haven't worked with that piece as well. I feel like we got gifts when God made our body, and God didn't give those gifts to man. I believe that a gift he gave to us was called a clitoris. No other purpose but pleasure. Thank you. That's what I say. I sort of laugh at men going, ha ha, yours does several things. Mine has one purpose, pleasure. I do have a theory, though. I believe that we need to feel loved to make love, and they feel loved when made love too. There's an actual hormone that's released in their semen when they ejaculate that brings them pleasure. So I know that some of us don't understand why they want to make love after we fight. After there's been a fight, they draw close to us. It's very different for them. I really would encourage you, if you have sort of a closed-off sexual talk, that you could begin to chat with him about that. I do have a conversation starter on the CD about it. A lot of people, it's uncomfortable to walk up to your mate and say, honey, can we talk about our sex life? Immediately, he feels that he's done something wrong. So when you approach him, let him know, I want to learn. I want to learn about us. I want to learn about touch. My husband and I for 15 years have been doing something in our lovemaking, and I finally decided I wanted to talk to him about it. And he goes, oh, yeah, I thought you liked that. I go, no, I don't like that. He goes, so for 15 years we've been doing this and neither one of us like it? Communicate. Can you believe that? We're like, dang, we could have been done with that 15 years ago. So communication is so important. You know, I know that some people are comfortable talking about sex during sex. Like, no, babe, push a little harder there. No, go a little faster there. Some don't want to talk during sex. So I encourage you at a very comfortable time to sit in your bedroom and talk about the things that are comfortable and that are uncomfortable for you. First of all, I'd like to ask you, because I'm standing up here, but you teach me as well. You could be standing up here as well. So I invite you in as we begin a dialogue on what is intimacy. So I would like, if you would, to throw out one-word answers. If you have a couple, that's okay too. What is intimacy to you? It may be what you want it to be, what it is, or what it's not. But what is intimacy to you? Connection. Heart, connection. Women words. You know, I said to a man the other day in session, I said, have you ever said to her, babe, how's your heart? She started crying. He said, no. I always say, how's your day, babe? That's not getting it. I said, turn. Look at your wife. Babe, why are you crying? Sweetie, if you asked me how my heart is, I'd really know you cared. And I said to him, ladies, don't be mad at them because they don't know. Help them. Help them know. So as soon as we chatted about that, he said, really and truly, if I am calm, concentrating on her, and I say, babe, how's your heart, that connects me to her? I said, yeah. Last year, I was asked to do a men's group for heart, called A Father's Heart for Men Who Have Had Abortions. Boy, was I honored. I'd never done a group for men. I've done a group for women for 26 years, and I'll do it till Jesus comes. There is an abortion in my past that haunted me for 19 years until I had healing. And the group has brought much more healing to me and many others God has brought. But these men, four of them, boy, did I think they were special. Did I come in saying healing? So one night, the gentleman was doing his homework. The book is called A Father's Heart. And he came to group the next day. And he goes, Kathleen, last night I was studying and praying, and my wife walked in, and she was crying, and then she left. Why? I asked her, and she wouldn't tell me. I said, let me tell you what you just did. That's called foreplay. He says, what? You're in Scripture? You're loving God? You're looking to God for answers to us? We're in love. That connects us to you. To know where you're getting your counsel, to know I can trust that you just don't throw out an answer, to know that you look in his book. And he goes, I think I'll be in the Bible a lot. A healthy man. But it was a blessing to hear them, because when we talked about heart words, they don't have those, ladies, unless they were raised in a situation with sisters or moms that they got a lot of female words. So with your sweetheart, let him know. Let him know what turns you on. Let him know what words connect with you. And if it's tough for you, I have had some couples communicate for a short season in a journal. And they'd put it under their pillows. If there were hard questions or hard times, she would ask him a question and put it under his pillow. He would answer and put it under hers for just a short season till they could get through some hard stuff. And then in session, we talked about the journal. I don't know about you, but for some of it's real hard to say words like, babe, how, when I, you know, if I give you a hand job, am I holding your penis too tight? Is this, I mean, you know, I mean, like, it's real life. But do we talk about that stuff? Are we real? And is it like, oh my gosh, I can't say penis. I had a girlfriend. She raised her son with the wrong name for a penis. She made a name because she couldn't say the word penis. He was 14 when he said, Mom, my go-gee-go is hurting. I go, what's his go-gee-go? Well, I could never say P-E-N-I-S, so I made a name for it. I went, well, that's going to be fun when he's in high school. So, I get if it's uncomfortable, but with your spouse, you can make it a way that you can continue that communication. Because what we heard was female words, heart, connection. Ask your spouse what it is to him to connect. What are those words to him? So that when I ask you, hon, what are those words? These are the words that would bless and help me. What are the words that would bless and help you in our dialogue? In intimacy, do you feel that there are questions that are off limits in your relationship? And if so, why? Begin to look at those if they are. I believe that in a relationship, if anyone has to be talked into something, not right. I had a gal, God love her, she said, well, he said if I would just watch once, it would help our sex life. Lovely young lady. Guess what he wanted her to watch once? Porn. She did. And because she did once, it was a green light for him forever. So the work that she had to do was tough. Because what it did is it shifted her belief in what she visually saw and what her heart felt. And so it also re-injured her. Her love for him, she did things that she was not comfortable with. And so if you're in a relationship that you're having to be talked into a sexual act or something that you're not comfortable with, have dialogue about it. Have dialogue about it, because your body is really important, and so is what you desire, how you want to be touched, how you want to be cared for. Let him know. It was interesting. A church asked me to come and do a singles retreat on sex. A singles retreat on sex, okay. It was wonderful. We got to talk about intimacy, because single or married, intimacy is in our world. So it doesn't matter if you're single or married. Dating, touching, when don't I touch? I deal with couples who have been married or divorced or widowed that have come to see me and talk about, do we be sexually active? What do we want that to look like? How do we want that to look like? So it's a piece that you need to tailor make for your life, what you want your sex life to look like. You need to ask yourself, too, first, if you're comfortable with intimacy and what's going on for you that you're not, and try to find those answers. Is it injury in my life? Is it a husband that doesn't care? What I'm finding these days, too, a lot of men, hours that you all are working, your lives are so tuckered. I really do encourage you, ladies, though, that if you do have a husband who really would like a healthy sex life, that you, I know you're not going to like me to say this, but your priorities, that you leave some energy for him. Because if we don't, it'll stop. And I've watched it stop. I see couples that haven't made love for years. Yes. I think it's wonderful. She asked about scheduling sex. And you know what I had? I had a pilot. He got home on Tuesday nights. He had an expectation to make love on Tuesday nights. He didn't tell his wife that. So every Tuesday night they fought until they came to see me. And I went, okay, what's it? Well, I want it. Did you tell her? Well, no. So they schedule sex on Tuesday nights when he gets home. So I think, and I have many couples because of children and life, if you're both comfortable with it, I do not believe there's anything wrong with scheduling intimacy, because as you'll know, it won't happen sometimes if you don't. And that breaks my heart. We need to have that connection. It's very, very important. I dealt with a woman who had never had an orgasm her whole life, so sex to her was nothing. I mean, why? Why bother? So in working with her and working through some situations and with a doctor, she came in to announce, I had my first orgasm! Yay! Never clapped for that for another woman before, but I did that day. So all our bodies can be complicated. Our bodies can have many things that shut down when we walk into the bedroom. I know a man said to me one time, he goes, it's like a minefield. We're in the living room, we're hot, we're going to make love. And she's in the bedroom, and I'm walking in, and I think, don't say anything stupid, don't say anything. Where's the landmine? Where is it? Honey, I'm coming in the... I know we're good, babe. Honey, did you get the... I didn't get the lotion. You didn't get the lotion? Oh, shoot, a landmine. Okay, don't step. No, I'll go get it, babe. So be careful, because we can sabotage it. You know, if our mood changes, or maybe went in the bedroom and saw a letter that we got that day, and now we don't want him to touch us, because whatever. Be mindful of intimacy. That is a big part. There is no other position that God put two people in face to face, unless you want to have some different positions in your world, which are okay if you're both comfortable with it, but that you're face to face. I had a man and a woman come in. They had dealt with, he had had an affair, and they did excellent work. He was also sexually addicted. They remarried, renewed their vows. I mean, good pieces were happening for them, but she said to him, honey, when you make love to me, you don't see me. He didn't know what that meant. I bet you know what that means, because you're a woman. So when you're asking things of your spouse, ask him if he knows what that is. Unspoken expectations are premeditated resentments. So if I have an expectation of you as a girlfriend, as a spouse, of anybody, and I don't tell you, I set you up. Same with your spouse. So speak your expectations to your spouse so he knows what you're wanting of him. And vice versa, tell him. Both ways that conversation starts. What are some one-word answers, or even a conversation of why you believe it's difficult to start conversations on intimacy? Doesn't have to be yours. It could be anybody's. Yes. Because he goes, oh, and that body language tells you what? This is too difficult. Okay, body language, huge. He gets defensive, shame. Do it again. Hard to be normal. Vulnerable, yeah. You know, it's so crazy. The first step in being real is being vulnerable. And it's so hard for us to be vulnerable. And it's amazing, because some of us have been with people for so very long, and yet we're still scared to be vulnerable. And I had a woman, and I've had a man say to me, if I'm vulnerable, I'll get ripped apart. Okay, we need to talk. We need to figure out the ripped apart piece, because you don't want to do that forever, because that means you're not going to share and talk. So if I'm going to get ripped apart if I share, then I need to sit down and talk about being ripped apart for sharing. Can we talk about that? Vulnerability is big, very, very big. What do you think are some of the reasons we choose not to be vulnerable in intimacy? Disappointment? Stigma? They're going to think you're weird for what you want or need. I had the coolest thing happen. I was seeing a couple. We did half-hour sessions. He came in. He shared a fantasy. It wasn't a weird fantasy. And I said, have you ever told your wife? She's in the lobby. He said, oh, I'd never tell her my fantasies. I go, why? Because she'll think I'm a pervert. I go, well, the fantasy you just shared with me was not a pervert fantasy. So have you ever asked her? No. So let's bring her in. No, you can't tell her. I go, no, I'm not going to. You are. He goes, no, I'm not going to tell her. I go, yeah, you are. Come on in, Susie Q. She sits down. I said, your husband wants to tell you about his fantasy. What? I said, yeah. He told her. She goes, honey, that sounds fun. He says, what? I never thought you. No communication. It was something sweet that his fantasy was. He thought she'd think he was weird. And it was sweet. You gotta think of your own. Gets the imagination going, doesn't it? Gee, what do I want? But it's communication. It's that communication and touching base with each other and making it be okay to say penis and, you know, to say, babe, if I give you a hand job, do I hold your penis too tight or is it a whole hand? What feels most comfortable? Because I want you to find pleasure. And honey, if you hand masturbate me, when you do that, it hurts. Or if you do. And if you have a goal-oriented man for an orgasm, God love you. Because our bodies don't always get a guaranteed orgasm. So let him know that so that you're not swollen and red. If he's a goal-oriented man, I must get her to orgasm. And I have had men like that. It's like, give her a break, dude. It's not going to happen. Her body is not there right now. When we're lined up with our hormones and when they're connecting, there are times that we might start out with a no and it could end with a yes. So, but let him have a heads up on that. And if you're comfortable or not comfortable with a quickie, let him know that. He needs to take care and cherish you, but he doesn't know what cherishing you means until you tell him. I ask men, what was modeled for you while you were growing up? What did you see? Look at what your husband was modeled. If he was modeled a cold father, who never touched his mom, they never had kind words, either they'll go one way or the other. So help him know how, because he was never shown. I always say that to mamas who have been hurt as little girls. I always say, do yourself a favor. When you love on your little one and your mommy and that little one and, oh, fell and hurt and mama's here, give that back to you. Mommy you back what you didn't get. Get it. Love that little one, and God wants you to just receive what you're given that little one. If you didn't get it, mom yourself back. Let that little one love on you. Not their responsibility, yours. But be able to do that as you love on them with pieces missing. Because with men, too, there's so many. What was modeled for you as a wife? I know with a lot of young ladies, they weren't given any modeling for how to be a wife or how to touch or how to care. I had about 15 years ago, I'd just been in my practice a few years. And this young couple came back from their honeymoon. And she said, Kath, you didn't tell us some stuff. Oh, dear. What? I said, you could have called me on your honeymoon. You got us through all the prep, all the premarital, but we forgot to share that for our whole life we were told no. And then that night was a yes, and we were both scared to death. And I thanked them for teaching me, as you teach me, that now when I do premarital sex, I talk about that night. I talk about expectations. I talk about touch. I talk about positions. I talk about being comfortable. I talk about cherishing each other. I talk about scared. I talk about those things now because it's hard on folks. When I work with people who have been married a long time and maybe they're on a second marriage, it's a little different because they're making different decisions. But there's a lot to that if you've chosen to be abstinent until your wedding day. There's a lot of big pieces to that. And that intimacy looks different too to you. You're scared. You're not sure. It's the beginning pieces. How many of you ladies, by raise of hand, were raised by a mom and dad that had a healthy sexual talk with you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Cool. Look at that, though, ladies. I want you to, that is very normal because that says to me the others didn't know how, were uncomfortable, just they'll figure it out themselves. Bless your parents for those that gave you a healthy sit-down chat. A lot we're told, and this is a lot that I get, don't you dare, that's all guys want is in your pants. Oh, that's going to make her really like guys, isn't it? You know? Horrible, horrible things mothers have said to their daughters to they thought they were protecting them when in essence they were frightening them. Sad but true. Like, mom, all he wants to do is get in my pants. Well, why would I ever want to go out with him? All guys want that, mom? Oh, don't know. So I don't know what some of you were told, but I'm sure nothing. You got to create or learn from your friends what it was all about, what intimacy was. And it wasn't called intimacy on the streets from our friends, was it? It was not called that. It was called something different. Even today, I took a survey of young mamas your age to see if it's intimacy, sex, what terminology is used. And today, making love is not at the top of the list. It's having sex is at the top of the list. Is the verbiage that I hear. And so that's an interesting twist to me as well. So hopefully the touches are changing. One young man said to me, I don't know what it means to cherish her. So have a conversation with your intimate partner. Ask them, what is intimacy to you, babe? What makes it uncomfortable? What makes it hard for us in the church to talk about sex? What makes it difficult for us to talk about the things that are a part of our life, our everyday life? Do you think that we're frigid, that we're scared, that what do you think it is that it's we're fearful of bringing this up? Is it our own stuff? Is it scary? Is it too real? What's going through your heads? Interesting, huh? Because I know your brains are working. That's okay. I hear them. I hear all the words that are going through right now. It's a tough one because it's very personal. Very personal. I know for myself, I was not a virgin. I was a young mama at 17 and found a life with a brand new baby as I was a baby myself, and went back home to live with my father. My mother decided she didn't want to be a mom anymore when I was 9 and left. My father raised us. And so feeling that if my own mom doesn't want me, then I was looking for love in all the wrong places as a young lady. And today I have a wonderful 46-year-old young man. So cool when they put their arm around you and say, I love you, mom. And then 3 years later, met a man, and he told me, I got pregnant, and he said that he didn't want to be forced into a relationship, so an abortion would be the answer for us to continue. Wanting to be loved and cared for, I continued on that journey and had an abortion, which changed the rest of my life. I went on to have another son, who is a love bug, out of the book of Daniel, Shad, who at 16, when I was trying to tell him about being ambitious and doing things in life and goals, he looks at me and says, Mom, if I turn out happy, is that okay? Yeah, well, I guess. So big, important pieces of our expectations of our children. What I see a lot today is mamas that are holding on to their babies very, very tightly, and ladies, some too tightly. When a man sits on my couch next to his wife and says, as soon as the children started coming, I didn't matter anymore. Take that inventory, ladies. Take that inventory. It can happen. because they'll love us no matter what. We fight with the tall one. Be careful that he doesn't become less important. In my belief system, it's God, spouse, children, job. I was seeing a lady, her child was 3 years old and she was still nursing. Who do you think she was nursing for? Herself or the baby? Oh, not a baby, the three-year-old. We crave closeness. We crave that. And our little lambs can give us that. And it can mess with us because it is such a pure, unconditional love. I'm dealing with a family right now, and in the midst of it, the teenage daughter, when she's pissed at mom, oh, sorry, that's a Christian word. I like that word. She goes to dad, and when she's pissed at dad, she goes to mom. So she's playing the adults, and they're going for it. So they're setting up a dynamic in the family where the children have the loudest voice. And I'm doing some strange things these days in counseling that I've never done before, helping parents parent. It's interesting. Well, why didn't you take his phone? Oh, he'd get mad. Oh, dear, that would be a shame, wouldn't it? Your priorities in love, look where they are. I know your babies. My babies were so important to me, even though I took one's life that I've been forgiven for, but will never forget. I had a miscarriage shortly after that abortion, and I thought, I was married at the time when I had my miscarriage, and I thought God was punishing me, and then I realized I don't serve a God who punishes. I serve a God who was there when I had the abortion. So I ask, as you look at your families, as you look at your intimacy in your own life, what is intimacy to me, to my heart, to my story? What would it feel like for me to be loved and cared for in intimacy? What are some of the things that you believe are things that women need? I'll do general so you can answer personally if you want to and not be caught. That we need concerning intimacy. What are some of the things we need? Privacy. You know, I had a woman say, when the kids are raised, can I moan again? It's the privacy thing, yeah. Very important. Create your privacy. Create it. What else is important? Energy, yes. And I believe it's important, mamas, if you're stay-at-home mamas, in the afternoon, when you know your honey's going to get home, you are the star of the show. So if you can create it that little lambs are in a quiet zone and you have some time to, even if you're laying on the floor while they're doing Legos or crawling, you have some downtime so that when he walks in, you've got something left for him. That's really, really important. And he needs to have something left for you. That works both ways today because I'm finding a lot of men that come in and they're dead tired, such as, you know, what? So I think you need to have a dialogue about that. So the scheduling piece, I think, is so important because I think when you schedule sex, if you both like to be freshly showered when you make love, you're going to make sure that's happening. Certain things that you're going to prepare for, your brain's going to prepare, because I think we start in our brain, and I try to tell men that. We start in our brain with making love. So if you emptied the dishwasher that morning or you changed a poopy diaper, dude, I'm loving you. It's in my brain. Those are good thoughts. That's where I start making love, not here. Not here. I had a man one time say, well, every time I grab her nipple, she gets pissed. I go, well, I would too. He says, it turns me on. I go, it doesn't turn her on. It makes her mad. It hurts. It's like, dude, what if she, like, come on. Doesn't it turn you on, babe? So, I mean, I think that conversation, but they never said anything. She would just get mad and shut down instead of saying, please don't ever do that again. I have that same sort of sense about hugs. If he's coming towards you because you need a hug, I tell men, turn the erection button off. She wants a hug. So you need to tell them, sweetheart, when I say, can I have a hug? That's what I mean. Because they, as soon as they touch you, don't get mad at them. God made them this way. As soon as they touch you, they're turned on by you. That's cool. Be glad for that. You can just say, babe, not right now, not right now. I had a couple who used food because the kids were older. So if they wanted to make love that night, if she wanted it to be spicy, she'd say, babe, tomorrow night, Mexican food? And he'd go, oh, I know what we're doing tonight. Or she'd say, no, babe, I think I'll throw something in the crock pot. Shh, nice and slow. And the kids would always go, why you guys always talk about food? And that's what I hear from mamas. I get touched all day. What you need to do, sweet mamas, whose touch? You love your babies all day and touch them. You've got to begin here to change that. I want to desire him. I want him to touch me. My children's touch is a different touch. You've got to begin to separate the two or you won't be touching. And I have couples that stop touching because they have babies and mama feels so burnt out. And ladies, I get it. Mom this, mom that, it's all day. So what you need to do in preparation for him coming home, that's what I was talking about. Tell your kiddos if they're old enough that you need a timeout. If they're little lambs, put them in their bouncy. And for me, what I did was I would just breathe. I'd sit in a chair. They could crawl around and I would reline this. Lord, help my head and my heart to want to be touched by him, because Lord, right now I don't want to be. And if you're not a believer, just say, I don't want to be touched again. So help me to receive his touch, because that's a touch I want forever. You've got to save room for him. You really need to save room for him because you want him to save room for you. So the children can't do much about that. I do have a couple I work with that balances that. So Saturday mornings they wake up. She gets from the moment she wakes up till noon. She can go to the movies, go to a friend. He gets from noon to four. Saturday nights and Sundays is family. So he'll golf in the afternoon because that's a four-hour time, or do whatever he wants to do. So when they get back together on Saturday night, they're on full together. She did what she did with her girlfriends that morning, shopping, tea, breakfast, whatever. That afternoon he did. They came together that night, fresh for the children, fresh for each other. So if you need to do some of that, because you mamas use each other, love on each other, how about Tuesday evenings I take your two and Wednesday evening you take my two and we're going to stay home and have a stay date. We don't have a lot of money, so we're just going to stay home and have a stay date. So if I could have an hour and a half, could I bring the kids over? Work with each other. Make that happen. A lot of people don't have family around them, so create that time so that you can. What would make you feel special? Tell him. What would make him feel special? Be sharing those pieces. So that is probably the number one thing I hear is I'm being touched all day. And what we have to do is we have to decipher his touch is different. We know it is, you know, but in our head, it's like someone else wants a piece of me. We've got to in here say, my husband wants to hold me. We've got to switch it. It's a hard one, though, ladies, because that's the biggest thing I hear is that pieces feel like they're taken from me all day. So we have to shift our brain. There's a scripture in Genesis that says, so God must have known, Lord, give me a desire for my husband. So he must have known that things would wane in our life and shift and change. So it's an important piece for us to remember that that connection is the connection we want with our kids forever, too. The cool thing is we'll have that one. Don't worry, ladies. Mine are grown men, and they're still coming around for things, too. Like you go, really? Aren't you adult now? So, I mean, those are pieces that to begin to realign your thinking that these are children touches that are taking from me from a different spot. This is the man I married. I walked down that aisle for. And that day I wanted him to touch me forever, and I want to get back there. And if our touches are hurting today, then we need to talk to each other. If our touches are distant today, then we need to connect. If our touches are hurtful today, then we need to figure out what happened. How do we get lost from each other? What went sideways? What do you think are some of the biggest pieces that interfere with the intimacy? I know that I had one. Anybody else that you feel can interfere with intimacy? We were talking about pieces being taken as mamas. Anything else that you feel? Yes. Lack of sleep, sleep deprivation. Yeah, very true. Yes. Time. Yeah. I had a couple come see me, and I had seen her 1 week and him the next, and she said to me her week, every morning he wakes up with a hard on and he wants to have sex. I said, and? She goes, well, it's early. I go, can you fall back asleep? She goes, oh, yeah, I sleep like a log. I go, try this. Tomorrow morning, when he is amorous, make love. Enjoy it. Keep your eyes closed. Have a dream while you're there. I saw him the following week. He said, I have the most awesome marriage. She came back. That's all it took? Yeah. So even we're tired, but there's time. You know, I have one couple, it's crazy. They set an alarm to make love at 1 a.m. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to wake up at 1 a.m. to make love. I'd rather be awake. But it's their life. You know, they want to connect. They want to touch. They want that connection, that groundedness. What are other things that can get in the way of intimacy? Resentment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't it interesting that we can actually say, nah, I'd rather do anything else than have sex. We need to ask ourselves how we got there. We need to find out how we got there, because I have heard women say, oh, I could not have sex for the rest of my life and I'd be fine. How do we get there? What happened that we got there? Because that says to me that there's an inconsistency in your lovemaking, that there's some things that are happening that are hurting your heart, and just time to connect. Yes. Big time hormones are major. And that's when I said that we don't get a guaranteed orgasm. That's why I tell men, we'd want to make love all the time if we had a guaranteed orgasm. But our hormones are a big piece, and that's why oftentimes you'll start to make love, and if he's goal-oriented, your body hormones, it's just not going to happen as hard as you try. So those are pieces in communication to just say, honey, sometimes this is how my body's wired. I did to a mom's group just like yours on postpartum depression. And that was a huge big thing for you mamas. And intimacy, there's just no way when that's on board. There's a lot of pieces to that. So it's really important that you take care of each other. And I'm going to mess with you, ladies. You've got to figure your days out. Don't let them happen to you. Figure them out. I need a break between dit to din. I'm going to do what I can to have cracker time, color time. I'm going to find some way to sit on my butt and do nothing for 10 minutes. I'll have them surrounded with crackers. I don't care. I'll have the vacuum over there, but I'm going to sit for 10 minutes. Do something. You know, that's the cool part about being a grandma. You're not at all as uptight about it. It's so cool. Messes with your kids, but it's okay. They come to see grandma, and my son goes, this is many, many years ago when they were little, and he goes, Mom, you taught Hannah how to eat a banana. I go, oh, no, wasn't that cool? He goes, no. You cut it in half, you told her to put it in her hand and squish it through her fingers and eat it. Not cool, Mom. I said, oh, but we had so much fun that day. Sorry. You teach them stuff, we mess it up. So those are pieces in the communication with your kidlets to try and save energy for yourself. Sleep deprivation. Figure out what the resentment is. Why am I resentful? And I have a saying, if I want to do something bad enough, I'll find a way. If I don't, I'll find an excuse. So if I really don't want to make love, I'm probably not gonna. It doesn't have to be a headache anymore. It can be anything you darn well want. But take an inventory on it, because I really do believe that a healthy orgasm can do many, many good things for our bodies. It's healthy to have an orgasm. I remember in my early years, there were times I'd cry or laugh after an orgasm, and my new husband said, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, this is good. It's wonderful. No, I'm happy. It's great." You know, so our emotions can go all kinds of ways. It triggers things for us. So we have to explain to them, no, this is good. We're not, this isn't a scary thing. One of the things I'd like to read to you, it's called Welcome to Holland, Accepting a New Destination. So if there are some of you out there that thought your marriage, your children, your life was going to look like ta-da or ta-da, and it isn't, I want you to sit back and hear this story. I'm often asked to describe the experience of raising a child with a disability or living with mental illness or small children or, to try and help people who have not shared that unique experience to understand it, to imagine how it would feel. It's kind of like this when your life turns out different than what you thought it would be. When you're going to have a baby or you're thinking about planning your life, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and you make your wonderful plans. The Colosseum, Michelangelo's, David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian. It's so, so exciting. You're going to have a baby. You're going to get married, the next step in your life. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. The baby is born, or we move along in a normal life, or. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands. The flight attendant comes in and says, "Welcome to Holland." "Holland, you say? What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life, I've dreamed of going to Italy. All my life, I dreamt of having the perfect husband. All my life, I dreamt of having perfect children. All my life, I thought I'd have a big house. All my life, I. But there's been a change in the flight plan. The plane, your life, has landed in Holland. There you must stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you to a horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, famine, and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy new guidebooks. You must learn a whole new language. And you will meet a whole new group of people you would have never, ever met. It's just a different place. It's not as warm as Italy, not as flashy as Italy, but after you've been there for a while and you catch your breath, you look around and you begin to notice Holland has windmills. It has tulips. Oh my gosh, Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy going to and from Italy, and they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they had there. And for the rest of your life, you will say, "Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned." The pain of that will never go away, because the loss of the dream is a very significant loss. But over time, the pain will lessen in intensity. And if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special, the very lovely things about Holland. And so Father's word says in Philippians 4:11, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So mamas, as you move on in your journeys as mamas, you will always hold a place in my heart. But the big piece for me is talk. Communicate with the man that you love or the person that's in your life. Let them know your heart about intimacy. And if it's scary for them, say, "It's scary for me too. But let's just start somewhere." So ladies, blessings to you, and thank you for an incredible opportunity to share with you.